Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2, the podcast covering all the narratives that matter involved in college sports through interviews and conversations with those involved in college sports. If you're watching on YouTube, definitely hit that subscribe button. Let's keep growing that subscribe count. If you're watching on any other platform, listening on any other platform, hit that follow button, leave a review. Also follow our socials at Not Even D2 on Instagram and X. Stay locked in with that. We definitely appreciate all the support. On today's episode, we got Coach Jace Rendall, who's leading UWW, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, head coach for their football team. And I mean, this is a dynasty, like continued success. They've won 6 national championships. I believe Coach Rendall's been there for all of them, maybe missed one through coaching at a Division I school, but he's been the defensive coordinator. He's been the linebackers coach. He's been a now head coach for his second straight year. And I mean, Coach Rendall really runs a tight program. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, I just want to start with saying, you know, Ruta isn't on today just because class schedules, we are a little busy. So I'm going to do the intro by myself. But Ruta and I being basketball players, we mostly focus on like the basketball aspect, but I mean, I've been following this Division III football season, and if you're not tapped in, you got to start because it's really good football, and it's the same kind of narrative. Like, these are players and coaches just as good as the Division I level. It might be a little bit different physical wise, like athleticism or speed, but I mean, this brand of football is really unique and really good. I mean, I'm watching teams like Cortland or North Central, the number one and number two ranked teams in the country. And those guys are nice. They got great cultures at both of those schools. And it's really just a joy watching D3 football. And there's a lot of good matchups coming up this next week. So start locking in on some Division III football. It's great football. But back to Coach Rendall. I mean, I feel like We kind of skipped over this in the episode. We didn't talk too much about his playing career and what that actually was. But, I mean, he's arguably, like, one of the best players to ever play at UWW. And this is crazy because they've had players that got drafted to the NFL. They've had national championship teams. They won 3 straight national championships. So there's just a ton of great talent that's coming into UWW. But Coach Rendall was Defensive Player of the Year his senior year in all of Division III, and he's the only player in UWW history to play in 4 national championships. He played in 4 national championships, which is OD. Like, I don't think basically anybody can say that they've done something like that. So that is just crazy in itself. And like I said, he was just a great player. He's like top 10 in solo career tackles. Had like 5 interceptions, 1 pick 6 his senior year, just a do-it-all linebacker. And this is something that I really think has helped him as a coach, like coaching linebackers. We kind of talked about it, and you can see like his football mind and what he was looking at or what he looks for in linebackers today. But I mean, just a really good football mind. And he also has coaches that were before him that he's learned from that were also really good. I mean, you talk about a guy like Coach Leipold, who was his coach for his final 2 years, but he also coached with, who's now leading Kansas. We talk about him in the episode, but Coach Leipold coached at UWW for 8 seasons and had 6 total losses. 8 seasons, 6 total losses. And we talk about, like, they went on a 46-game winning streak, which is probably the longest winning streak in all of Division III. So, I mean, Coach Leipold's a legend, but also he coached with Coach Kevin Bullis, who 78-13 career record. So it's just continued success in the program. And what I like about Coach Rendall, we didn't really talk about this, but like UWW, it's pretty interesting. Like, all of Wisconsin supports UWW. It's a really big thing in Wisconsin. Like, they'll have sold out crowds of like 13,000 plus people. It's a really good energy. Like, you should really start watching some of their games. But he mentioned that their fan base is awesome, but they expect like national championship or bust. It'd be easy for Coach Rendall to go in there and say like, we have to win the national championship, but he kind of goes the opposite route. And it's like, we just want to be better at the end of the year. And he does different things outside of football that you really don't hear. Like, he's focused on mental health, but it's not just him saying I'm focused on mental health. Like, they're giving their guy skills. They're helping them with some tips on how to get better grades or how to be more attentive in class. And this is some Ruta mentioned, like, as college kids, you're all over the place. You're dealing with relationships, trying to have a social life, getting used to classes, living on your own, sports, whatever the case may be. And you're just expected to know how to do all these things. But Coach Randall, like, understands that these kids, 18-year-olds or 22-year-olds, they need a little bit of guidance. And you definitely got to respect a coach like that. And when we talk about, like, UWW, they just got upset by UMHB. But it's like, Coach Randall, I don't think he's stressing that at all. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to take some losses. You're going to get upset. They were ranked number 3 at the time, so right behind Cortland and North Central, national championship contenders. But that loss, it's not like the end of the world. Although their fan base might think, like, this team is shot, but I can really see a big bounce back coming for UWW. They had a tough start to the game, but, I mean, they get this bye week, and then it's right into conference play in the WIAC, and the WIAC is crazy with talent. They got 4 teams in the top 25, 3 teams in the top 10 in the country. So, I mean, Coach Randall's got a challenge ahead of him, but I have no worries that he's going to bring this program right back to national powerhouse level. And, I mean, we talk about a ton with him regarding his playing career and how that transitioned into a coaching career, what he took away from Coach Leipold, who's one of the best coaches in all college football right now. Brian Borland, like, it's just a really good program. You could talk a lot about the guys that have come out of UWW. And then finally, like, what we should expect from UWW for the rest of the year. I mean, we recorded right after week one, so we didn't get to talk about this upset, but I imagine that Coach Randall's got those guys right back in the film session. Like, we don't have to panic. It's one loss. We got a long season. We win this conference, and then it's right back to the NCAA tournament where it gets real. So, I mean, it was a really good conversation with Coach Randall. I hope you guys appreciate it, and let's hear from Coach Randall. All right, we're here with Coach Randall. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys, for letting me be on the podcast and let me talk about our program and Warhawk football.
Appreciate you getting on, Coach. I know, you know, especially day after game days can be a time when you want to relax, so we appreciate you getting on. What do these days usually, like, look like for you?
So we're on a Sunday, day after a game. It's pretty much like rinse and repeat when you get into the season. So, watch the game from the day before, knock that out, get organized for a staff meeting. We had our staff meeting at 3 p.m. And then once that's done, you kind of move on to the next opponent and get ready to start preparing for our next week opponent. But today we actually had a JV game as well, so it was good for our guys, younger guys that don't really play on Saturdays in the varsity game. They get a little bit of love and can get out there and play some ball. So, we went 2-0 this weekend, so it's been a good day.
Yeah, so you guys played Saturday. It's now Sunday, and big NFL Sunday, so first week of the season. I was wondering if you're into the NFL. Do you watch that? And if so, are there any, like, coaches that you extremely like watching some of their sets or defensive concepts, anything like that?
So I'm from Wisconsin, and so you know I like the green and gold. So go Pack, go, baby. Watch them on Friday night. Not good. But typically when we're playing in season, I don't really get to watch a lot of the Packer games. Sunday night football and Monday night, I can catch a little bit of those games. But during the day on Sunday, we're in watching film and getting ready for our next opponent. So, but in regards to coaches that I like to study, Mike Tomlin, yes, big fan of Coach T in Pittsburgh, just his consistency and success and, having – I don't know if it's 14, 15 consecutive winning seasons, but that's pretty impressive. I like Mike Vrabel when he was with the Titans, so I would study him a little bit. And obviously he's not with them, and I think he's helping with the Cleveland Browns. But those would probably be the two names that come to mind from the NFL level.
So, Coach, you're, like you said, you're a native of Cambridge, Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to hear just a little bit how you got involved with football all the way out there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town. I graduated with 320 people. So basically, you go to the same elementary school, same high school, same middle school with those people. So I was very fortunate, a lot of good friends. I had two older sisters, good house, good home. My parents, loving family, they're still in the picture and come support me. And Cambridge is just a half hour away from Whitewater. So, but I always loved sports. I never liked school, really. School was a little bit hard for me. And then, you know, sports came easy. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to be involved with anything and everything. I played a bunch of soccer growing up. I actually didn't play tackle football until high school. I played soccer through seventh grade and then some flag football in there in middle school as well, with basketball, baseball, you know, any type of sport that was out there. I did a little track, a little wrestling, a little golf. So just enjoyed doing all sorts of things and growing up in a small community like I did, that allowed you to play all those sports. And, you know, I'm a big proponent and advocate for multi-sport athletes. So, but yeah.
I feel like a lot of coaches I've met, like athletes that played like multiple sports. I don't know. Like I just feel like that's always a conversation I've heard, like being able to, you know, playing football, playing basketball, playing baseball. So I definitely find it interesting that you grew up playing a lot of different sports.
I think there's so many lessons that you can learn from other sports, right? Like you think of wrestling, right? You're out there by yourself, right? You gotta get your head, you get your butt kicked, you gotta get up, right? Maybe you beat the person, you pin them, but you're by yourself. You're on the free throw line shooting a free throw. There ain't nobody else there to help you but you. You either make it, you miss. So I think us as humans, right, we need to go through those challenges to be able to grow, and playing all those sports and doing those different skills, that only is gonna help prepare you for, you know, whatever focused area you are gonna put your attention to, you know, as you get older.
Definitely a great point. I definitely like that insight. And, you know, talking about your own like playing career, you were a great player at UWW. So I just want you to talk about what you think you brought every Saturday playing the linebacker position.
I think first and foremost, I was with I was in an incredible situation. Good coaches, really good players. My freshman year, sophomore year, I was more of a special teams type player. I was able to play in I played in 60 college football games, so I was able to play in every game that I attended at Whitewater. But, you know, I wasn't really, like, impacting it a lot. You know, I wasn't a starter or anything like that my freshman, sophomore year. So just kind of fell into a good situation, surrounded by a lot of really good people, and that allowed me to develop and mature and grow. And I think, you know, I was a guy that loved football, so I liked the struggle of practice. I liked the off-season training. I liked the camaraderie that you had with your teammates. I liked the competitiveness and taking out your aggression in football. Like those are things that other sports didn't really. You couldn't always do that in other sports, so that kind of helped gravitate me towards the game of football. But I think Whitewater, we just had a lot of, it was the right time. I was very fortunate to come into the program, and we played in the national championship game my freshman year. And I had a little bit to do with that, not a lot. And we were able to come back and, you know, do the same thing my sophomore year. And again, I was really a role player, doing a lot of the special teams, going in on defense and some sub packages. And, you know, we went to the championship my freshman, sophomore year, but we lost. And then my junior year, I was able to be a starting linebacker about 3-4 games into the year. And then really I ended up having 16 tackles in the national championship game that year. And we won it for the first time in program history. And our head coach was Lance Leipold, his first year, who's now at Kansas doing unbelievable things. So we had, I think, 25 seniors that year in 07. So it was a really strong team with a lot of veteran leaders and just guys that were, you know, not going to lose, right? They were just, we're going to find a way to get it done. And then my senior year, we only had 6 seniors. So really kind of the opposite of what it was in 07. 08, we made it back to the national championship, but came up short. But I think, you know, after that year, Whitewater went on to win 45 games in a row and three consecutive national championships. So I think what we did in 08 really helped, you know, set the thing forward for those next 3 years. But like I said, a lot of good coaches, a lot of good teammates, a lot of good players, and I was just very fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that you played in four straight Stag Bowl championships, and something that, like, I feel like not – it's not talked about enough is this rivalry you guys have with Mount Union. You guys played them 8 times out of 9 national championships. So 9 years, you guys are the last two competing. So I just want you to talk about what it was like. You know, you were a part of 4 of those games, what that rivalry was like with Mount Union.
So growing up in Wisconsin, being a football guy, being aware of college, all levels, you know, you knew Mount Union because of their dominance and what they did at the Division III level. So for me to be a freshman, and sure enough, we play them in the national championship, I mean, the respect was there. Like, you knew who they were. You knew how good they were. You knew the program that Larry Karras had built. So, you know, then obviously we fell short to them. Then we did it again the year later. But to overcome that and come out on top in 07 was just unbelievable, and, you know, something that you'll never forget, and something that really shaped me and who I am and helped put me in this path to where I am today. But yeah, I mean, they did things right. Like, consistency and excellence at that level is so hard to do. Like, people don't understand that, like, to win year in and year out. So, you know, I just have nothing but the utmost respect for Coach Karras and the Mount Union program that they had established. I think for us, it was respect, right? Like, I don't think there was, you know, we enjoyed how good they were and going against them, but we just knew that they were a really good program. And if we wanted to be the best, we knew we had to beat the best. So
after your playing career, right after college, you joined the coaching staff as a linebackers coach. And this time period, you know, 2009 to 2012 was arguably the most dominant span in a Division III football, especially for UWW, 46 game win streak. I think you said 45. I'm pretty sure it's 46.
Yeah, but we beat Buffalo, or we beat somebody next year, and then their second game, Buffalo from New York, beat us.
So, I mean, like I said, dynasty. And I just want you to talk about what that was like. You know, first coaching experience. You're a part of such a great culture, and I want you to talk about a little about this UWW culture that allowed you guys to be so dominant.
So I got done playing and then got right into coaching. I remember Coach Leipold shaking my hand in the locker room after we lost this championship in 2008. And I just, like, I'm not done. I'm not going anywhere. I still got credits to finish up, and I was going to earn my degree. That wasn't really an option. I was going to make sure I got that completed. So I started coaching in spring ball. Then I helped out during summer camps at Whitewater, and then sometime in July, I was offered the opportunity to coach the linebackers that fall. So I was right there, young guy, just got done playing. I'm living with guys that I'm coaching, and I was running the linebacker room, coaching the linebackers. So that was just an unbelievable experience for Coach Leipold to do that, to offer it to me. And then I was surrounded by Brian Borland, who is the defensive coordinator at Kansas right now, and then Kevin Bullis, who was the former head coach at Whitewater, who I took over after. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to have those two to really mentor and teach me the game of football and how to teach was just a blessing. And, you know, I owe a lot to those guys. You know, in regards to the culture and, you know, what it was all about when we were, you know, winning that 46-game streak and, you know, 6 national championships. I mean, at the end of the day, it was really just daily improvements, day by day, like nothing sexy, nothing fancy. It wasn't really, it was never national championship or bust. We never went into the year with Coach Leipold talking about national championships. That was never the case. It was just, hey, what do we got to do today? You know, make sure you're on time, make sure you're doing your best to compete and try to get a little bit better today. And you really try to respect every opponent. You were very consistent in your preparation, how you viewed whether they were 3-6 or they were, you know, 7-0. You really went into that preparation and that game plan with the same approach. And, you know, Coach Leipold was very big on the details and the fundamentals. And that's kind of what our focus was. which I think allowed us to grow and improve throughout the course of the year. We play in a really good conference in our league, the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. You know, you go through that sucker, you're going to get battle tested. And we knew that if we could win a conference championship, we would earn the right to have an 11th game. And we just felt that if we could get to that second season, we liked our chances because of what we had to go through in our conference. But, you know, the culture really was about, you know, going to work, trying to get better every day, and nothing too fancy.
I mean, that's the culture of a winning program. When you have just the mentality of constant growth or stacking days, or like you're saying, none pretty. It's none, you know, obviously everything that comes with winning is pretty, but the work that leads up to it is really the tough part that a lot of people really don't understand or really are sometimes not ready for. So I definitely respect that, Coach. And I want to hear more about, you know, your the influence that Coach Leipold had on you, both as a player and a coach, because he's a legend in his own right. You know, like he's turned, like he's been, he was at UWW. He coached at UBuffalo for, I think, 4 or 5 years. He was an assistant in Nebraska for some time. And he was assistant coach also at UWW for a little bit. But he's totally turned around that Kansas program. And I just want to hear just his influence that he had on you.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible influence. I mean, I think of how I approach being a head coach. I'm not comparing myself or I'm not trying to be him, but without a doubt, he's, you know, somebody that's influenced me as much as any other coach that I've been around. And yeah, I mean, it was nothing is consistent. Show up, be the same person every day, right? Don't try to, you know, ride the emotional roller coaster. Don't, you know, too high or too low, right? Let's stay even keel. Let's go at this thing every day. Let's find a way to evaluate things and look at it through a lens of, okay, we did it. Okay, now let's debrief. Can we do it better? Is there a way to improve it? Okay, there is. All right, let's do that. If not, okay, yeah, let's push forward. But I think the process oriented piece was probably the biggest thing that I learned from him, was just focus on that process and the result will take care of itself.
So when it comes to your players, both, I guess, the, you know, players on your team, but also there are players that you're recruiting and looking at, like what traits and or skills do they need to have in order to be successful in your defense?
I think there's a couple things. And I'm going to look at this now as how we do it as a program, being a head coach. And, you know, we've got to have guys that we can trust. Okay. So everything for us in our program starts with men of character. Mm-hmm. Right? Like we can't have guys that lie. We can't have guys that cheat. We can't have guys that steal. We need guys that are good people and are going to have the desire to do things right. And then after that, love the game. They're tough and competitive. And, you know, we pride ourselves on, you know, a standard of excellence and how we practice and how we go about it in our training. And if you don't like competition, it ain't going to work, because you come from high school. Yeah, you're probably the best player. Well, you come in this program, you're not going to be the best player, right? You're going to have to work and compete. And it's really not against the opponent. You're really competing with yourself, just trying to get a little bit better every day. But those are characteristics that you got to have. And yeah, you might think it's cliche and that's coach talk, but I mean, I think that's it. Like we're going to have people, you want to play on this defense, you got to show up and go to work every day. So you got to have that toughness to be consistent. And then you got to try to get better every day. So if you're content or you feel entitled to some position, man, it ain't how it works, right? You got to earn that. Whatever snaps you get, whatever role you're is on your team, you earn that every day by how you go about it. And, yeah, that's the type of people we want. Good people that love football and are tough and competitive. I think if we can do that, we'll have a chance. Do they got to be 6'5"? Do they got to be 250-pound linebackers? No. We got all different shapes and sizes. You know, you kind of like the bigger guys, the fast guys, the long guys. But we've won a lot of football games with people that don't fit that prototypical, you know, Division II, Division I type body. So, but yeah, our thing is just getting good people that love football, tough and competitive, and let's go to work and let's see what we can do.
It's definitely interesting, like, hearing the different philosophies or, like, ideas that each coach has. Like, some coaches, especially in today, are just going, like, in the portal and trying to get, like, the best talent available. And there's other coaches like you that are worried about, like, the overall program, getting guys with good character. So I feel like that's just interesting to look at and see, compare the two, I guess. But this is the last thing we're going to talk about before we take a quick break. I feel like a lot of the teams you've coached, like the linebackers, have always been really successful. You've had all-conference linebackers, All-Americans, and these are most of the years definitely all-conference. So I just wondering, like, you are obviously a great linebacker yourself. Is there anything, like, specific about that position or something you've been able to, like, almost crack to allow guys to be so successful under you at that position?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a defensive approach, right? You have good D linemen that do their job, that allows a linebacker to do their job. Linebackers do their job. Now, you know, you got DBs that can prosper and get their flowers. So I think it's just working together, buying into your role, committing to the team and what's asked of you. You know, I always like guys from a linebacker. I don't want to be robots. Like, I try to coach guys to track the ball, see the ball. You know, quarterback tells you a lot. So can we have eyes on the quarterback? Can we read that front shoulder? And can we see that football versus maybe staring and kind of having tunnel vision? Or, you know, some defenses are a little bit more aggressive where they're going to take linebackers and, you know, run them downhill and try to get TFLs. And, you know, that wasn't, you know, really our approach. It was more conservative and just more, you know, we want a 2.7 yards or less. It was our rushing goal. Okay. Yeah. Well, right. If they get a 2 yard gain, we're okay with that, 'cause we're going to get our goal. And, but I think it's just a collective, it's a team effort. And you know, when you have success as a team, individual accolades will be there. And that's kind of the message to our guys. And even when I was coaching linebackers, is, hey, just do your job. Let's all buy in. Let's go after this and compete as hard as we can. And everybody's going to get their accolades, right? You're going to get it. If the team has success, team wins, you know, there's going to be more all conference. There's going to be opportunities for people to be all Americans, but we got to focus on this team and doing our job and making this team the best that we can make it.
I like that. And we're definitely going to continue talking about UWW's culture after the break. So stick with us. All right, we're back. One thing I noticed is 2019, when you were, you know, like you said, you were calling plays, controlling a lot of the defense. You guys made it all the way to the championship, and you lost to North Central. And your defense was sixth in the country in rushing defense, so just dominating teams. I was wondering, like, a little about this year, if you could talk about that run, but also, were there any big takeaways you took from being defeated to North Central in that game?
I mean, I think, that was a special year, 2019, getting all the way back to the championship, coming up short. Obviously, that hurt, and, you know, that was a tough game to swallow. But, I mean, you just learn from it. You grow. You just take a lot of different lessons from it. I mean, I think a different schematics, things we need to do differently. You know, they were a heck of a team. They ran the ball all over us, so our run defense wasn't good enough. But you know, that was a really special team, a lot of good players on that. And, but yeah, you got to tip your cap to North Central. They were the better team on that day.
Another thing I wanted to switch topics about, I was listening to this interview you had, and you were talking about how you want guys in your program to be the same guy every day. Like, how many days can you be consistent? And I'm kind of curious, you know, you talked about Coach Leipold, how, you know, he was never too high, never too low. But I was just wondering where you yourself developed that as a head coach, and how have you seen it kind of start to develop over the past few years?
So when I was an assistant, I think this is my second year as a head coach. And I think something that really helped me be in my preparation for this role was I started thinking like a head coach probably 5-6 years ago. I started thinking, not stepping out of my toes, not telling Coach Bowles to do things, but just thinking like a head coach, acting like a head coach. What I mean by that, up early, boom, every day. same time. In season, out of season, didn't matter. I'd still get up early, have a good morning ritual, have a good morning routine, and then just try to, you know, attack recruiting every day, attack X's and O's every day, attack leadership every day, culture every day. So I would work on those type of things every day throughout the course of the year. In season, yeah, you don't necessarily, I'm not doing probably leadership and culture on a Tuesday when we got to get ready for a practice. But, you know, as you look at the whole year calendar, whether it's the spring or the summer, you know, I think some people are probably kicking their feet up, maybe not getting into a little bit later. I made sure that I stayed consistent and I continued to grow and develop, because I think that's, you know, how you get better is your habits, right? And your habits are going to what going to prepare you for the future. In regards to the players and getting them to be consistent, I mean, I think, you know, we teach our guys mental skills, right? We really try to attack that part, the mental health. We give them skills and tools to use to help them. We provide resources on campus. You know, we teach attitude, which, you know, Jay Wright, that's probably your guys' area over there with Villanova. I mean, he had one word as a program, and it was attitude. And, you know, we use Coach Peschick, our offense coordinator, taught that to our team this fall. And, you know, those are things that just because you talk about it doesn't really mean anything. But when you hear players echoing it and talking about it and putting that lesson to practice during your training, I mean, I think that's where, all right, guys are buying in. All right, guys are working. And I think, you know, now they're giving themselves a chance to be consistent, because I guess the desire's there, right? They're listening. So, I mean, we just try to get guys to be process orientated, which, you know, quit worrying about outcomes, quit worrying about results, just, where are you at right now? All right. Well, okay. You're in a meeting. All right. Well, let's have a pen and paper. Let's be prepared. All right. Let's have our hood down. Let's put our feet on the floor. You know, if my mind starts wandering and starts going to la la land, all right, well, how do I get my mind back in the present so I can take advantage of this meeting? Okay. Well, here's a way to do it. If you take notes, that could help. So we just try to provide guys those little different tips and try to help them with their habits so that they can grow and develop. Cause I know, when I was their age, I wasn't necessarily doing that, but so yeah, just trying to help the guys as much as we can.
Coach, definitely you got to appreciate, like, I appreciate hearing that, because, you know, I feel like a lot of times with college sports, like, it kind of gives you a routine to follow. And, like, you know, my dad's big on routine, like having a routine. So, like, being here at Utica, like, we have a routine every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. All right, we have lift, or we have conditioning day today, right? Or we have this at this time that Coach Coffey's telling us about. So you keeping your guys in line, or like helping them like understand, like, we want to be process based, you want to be routine based, like showing up every day the same. Like, that's definitely going to help a college student out, like, not more than, you know, but just like, I just feel like it's going to help out any college student, I feel like, because at this age we're just like all over the place with school, social life, sports, whatever it may be.
And you think of people, why do they not succeed in college? Well, one, they don't go to class, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Now you're not taking notes. You forget to do an assignment, or you forget to check your email and respond to a teacher. It's like nothing extreme. It's very simple things. Yeah. So even for us as a program, like, you know, our fan base is great and our parents are great, but they put expectations on our players, which is, it's like national championship or bust. And I can't stand that, because that's not it. Like, we don't look at it that way. We want to be better at the end of the year than we are at the beginning of the year. And if we could do that, that's success, right? My daughter was a kindergartner last year, right? She's learning her letters. Okay. Well, some students know 26 letters day one. Okay, great. Okay. Some students know 12. Okay. Day 30, now they know 20. Okay. Day 45, now they know 26, right? That growth is what we want. That's what we're trying to achieve. So if that person that kindergartner that knows their 26 letters on day one, well, if she just chills till day 45, well then, okay, she didn't really get better, right? So you got to constantly find ways to grow and get better. And that's what we're chasing, not the outcome, not the result, but, you know, just our expectations for our players are be where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do, and treat people right. That's it. And I think if guys can do that, if people can do that, they will add value to any organization, any build, any business, profession, because they're accountable, right? They're disciplined. You can trust them. And that's what we try to do as a program.
Like I said, I definitely respect that, Coach. It's definitely a great insight. And talking a little bit more about growth, you've been involved in Division III for 15-plus years now. And, you know, we've had – is that number right or no?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. So you've been involved in Division III for 15-plus years. And, like, a conversation we have is, like, with, like, some other coaches, like, involved with basketball at least, is how Division III basketball has kind of evolved over their time coaching. So it makes, like, you know, Cage and I curious, how have you seen D3 football especially evolve in your time and evolve in your time in the division?
So when I first got to Division III, 05, I mean, we're watching film on VHSs. We got a cart with a projector, and, you know, now everything's on Huddle, online. So I think just technology's advanced so much that's helped the sport and helped players, you know, play at a higher level because of that. I mean, you look at now we got sideline replay and we got iPods on the sideline of games, which we didn't have last year. So, you know, I think some of that stuff's good. Some of that stuff I don't really like, but you better evolve because things are going to change, and that's a constant, right? And we all know that things are going to change. So you better adapt or you're going to get left behind. And, you know, I think the sport's in a great spot. You know, player safety is evolved, and, you know, we're smarter with how we take care of our guys, you know, just training. You know, we used to, when I was a player, I think we had a walkthrough on a Friday in fall camp. We would have 2 days. We don't do that anymore, right? We have no 2 days in fall camp. We have a day off every 6 days. You know, every week you have at least 1 day off. And in season, we've kind of modified our training plans to be just more health conscious and recovery conscious and player safety as well. So, but I think everything is heading in the right direction. I think football's in a great spot. I can't say I love the transfer portal NLI type stuff, but, you know, that's just part of it. So we got to kind of get some parameters around that. Probably it doesn't really affect us as much at our level than it does at the higher levels, but yeah, I mean, things change and that's part of it, and you better adapt or you're going to get left behind.
I definitely 100% with you. And like you keep saying, like, even though you might not like the transfer portal, you might not like NIL, you still got to be better than you were like yesterday, or just constant improvement. So I'm with you on that. And kind of to wrap things up, actually, I have two questions. First one, just a quick one, like, you guys are ranked preseason number three this year. How much, like, attention are you guys paying to, oh, this team is ranked this, or we're ranked this, we're disrespected? Talk to me about that.
Zero. I don't know. I mean, we played John Carroll yesterday. I have no idea. I'm pretty sure they were top 25, but I have no idea what they were ranked. And that's a Coach Leopold thing. Like, that stuff just becomes a distraction, right? When you're focused on the ranking of your team, or, well, that, then you're not focused on what you got to do to get better. So, you know, that doesn't really matter. Goes back, you know, nameless gray face, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, is whoever the opponent is, it's not really about them. It's about us and how we go about it and how we play and the controllables that we, need to be great at, and those little things that we emphasize every day, that's what's going to get you to where you want to go. So don't put much into that ranking stuff at all.
And, you know, on the same kind of lens, this team is obviously very talented. You guys want to know, just be top 20 ranked team in the country, dominant win. Just talk a little about this year's roster and what the not expectations, because we're just trying to be better by the end of the year, but a little about what you're thinking for the season.
So this is my second year as a head coach. So a lot of lessons learned from year one, a lot of growing pains. We have our entire coaching staff back. So all of our position coaches return. And I think that's something that's probably not talked about enough. Like, our offensive staff is in year three together. Our defensive staff is in year two together. Mm-hmm. And that's big for the student athletes. When they hear the same voice from their coach, their teacher, They're here in the same scheme for 3 years or 2 years. And that's very important in the development of a young man and getting the guys to play great defense or great offense. So, you know, having all of our coaches back, I think, is a huge factor on you know, the performance that we had yesterday and what we're going to be able to do this year. We got a really good group of seniors, 20, 25 plus. 2020, we didn't have football here in Wisconsin. So those guys basically redshirted that year. We got probably 20 of those that are fifth-year guys. Then on top of that, you got, you know, probably 10 that are – I don't know the numbers, but somewhere in there that are 2021 graduates. So you got a big senior class with a lot of, you know, veteran leadership type guys there. So I think that's gives you a lot of excitement and some confidence as we continue to push forward with our year. But we really look at things incrementally, as we kind of talked about the process-orientated piece. You know, we had our fall camp with our 15 training periods where we were going to use those to figure out our best team. We don't collect talent. We're trying to build a team. Okay, then you got 3 non-conference games. All right, well, we're going to play, you know, probably a little bit more personnel groups. We're going to rotate a little bit more, use those 3 games. That gets us to bye week. Okay, now we're going to self-scout, self-evaluate, really look ourselves in the mirror and figure out how, you know, where do we need to improve? What are our strengths? Who can we trust? Who do we maybe need to, you know, how can we adjust those depth charts to get our best players on the field? And then you get into that fourth game or that fourth week, which would be our fourth game is conference. So you got 7 conference games. And, you know, that's really what it's about is, you know, winning a conference championship. And if you can win a conference championship, then you earn the right to make the playoffs. So that's kind of how we break it down. You know, we got a huge challenge coming up next week with a D2 school. We got to go on the road and play there that I'm pretty sure they got a bunch of transfers. So they're going to be really loaded. And the head coach has been there for a long time. So he's done a heck of a job with their program. And that's a huge challenge for us, but we're excited for the opportunity and just got a lot of work to do this week to get better.
I mean, we're definitely going to be following UWW this year. So stay locked in. We're going to end this episode a little rapid fire and start in 5 edition. So let us know you're ready for rapid fire.
I'm ready.
All right, Coach. First rapid fire question I got for you. Favorite football memory outside of winning the Natty?
Just locker room, hanging out with the guys in the locker room.
Did you have any favorite teammates or funniest teammates that you remember from your time either coaching or even playing?
Brian Richkowski was a quarterback. We had a lot of fun together. Greg Arnold, Lane Olson, Matt McCulloch, Dan Prawl, those would be some guys.
Favorite Green Bay Packers player that you loved watching maybe growing up or even, you know,
as Brett an adult? Favre.
Brett Favre, that's tough.
I like that pick. Are you taking him over Rodgers in terms of Packers QBs or not?
I'd take Rodgers.
Okay.
A-Rod. Monday Night Football tomorrow.
Yeah, man, he couldn't win the big games, man. I loved A-Rod. He couldn't get it done in the big games, which I know it's a team sport, but he had the ball in his hand on a few of those, and he couldn't quite get it done. So
that's when you need to do it.
Yep.
And then last rapid-fire question. I'm just wondering if you listen to music, like, before games and stuff like that, and if so, what's in the playlist?
Drake, Thank Me Later.
Yeah,
I like it.
My music game's pretty weak, though. I'm stuck on Jay-Z and Drake, and
that's tough.
You know, that's I don't even have Spotify, so my music game's pretty weak. But Jay-Z, you know, I got like 3-4 albums of his on my phone, and then probably 3-4, probably more than that of Drake. So Drake was my college years. That's when he was just coming out. So
yeah,
a lot of fun.
I like Jay-Z and Drake, so I have no problems with those choices, Coach.
Thanks.
But yeah, I think my wife and I, we got married, and then the two concerts we went to Tom Petty, and I went to Jay-Z in Chicago. Like, you talk about diverse and like totally opposite, but
that's crazy.
I like music, I like sports because I think they, you know, they bring people together, and that's kind of what I'm all about. I hate politics. Why? Because it does nothing but divide and wedge, and
that's what it's meant for.
That's not what I'm about. You go to a concert, don't matter who you are, any of that stuff, right? Everybody's there for the same reason. You go to a football game, most likely, obviously there's an opponent, but for the most part, right? You're all there to watch a game and cheer on your team, and it's not that division stuff.
I'm with you on that. And we're going to transition to top five edition. So if you're a coach and you get to, just list these guys, this is not really a special edition, but I just want to hear if you had to list the top five linebackers you've coached.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
I got a different one if you want me to change
it. Yeah, different one, please.
All right. So we're going to do a top five, and this one's going to be for the offense, though.
Okay.
So we're going to do, if you get to pick a quarterback, a running back, two receivers, and a tight end, building your ideal lineup, whatever programs you've been a part of, just build that. Quarterback, running back, two receivers, and a tight end.
Oh, okay. So I would go from Whitewater, you're saying?
Anywhere.
Okay. Tom Brady, quarterback. Randy Moss.
No. People that you've met, like, coached.
Oh. we'll just go Whitewater dish. I coached elsewhere, but Jeff Donovan was our quarterback my senior year. Jado, he was a two-sport athlete. He was fun guy to be on the team and heck of a player. Jake Kumerow played here. He was in the league for a few years, dominant. Derek Stanley would be the other one that would come to mind. He got drafted by the Rams in the seventh round back in 2006.
Give me their position, too, just so I know.
Receiver. Derek and Jake were receiver. Jeff was quarterback. And then what's the other?
Tight end and running back.
Tight end. Pete Schmidt played tight end here. He was a stud, All-American. He played in the league, too. But I'm going to say Brent Campbell as well. Brent Campbell is an MMA fighter right now, heavyweight. He was a stud here at Whitewater, big monster. So I just cheated there. I went two tight ends. What's the last one? Running back?
Running back, yeah.
Yeah, we had – I'm going to go with Lavelle Coppedge. He was he played four-time All-American my senior year. He was a freshman. I don't know what stats he broke, but he's got hella touchdowns, you know. You name it, right? Like, he's got four-year starter, four-time All-American. So he was a stud, difference maker. Married a girl from Stoughton, which is near Cambridge, my hometown. So the L train.
That's tough. I like that lineup. And that's going to do it for another episode and not even D2. I definitely appreciate you coming on a day after a game, big win. And like I said, we're going to be locked in for the rest of the season. So good luck the rest of the year and continue the dominance.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having Warhawk Football and myself on the pod.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2. If you haven't already, make sure to go follow all the socials at Not Even D2. You can catch every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, KJ Allison, and I'll see you next episode.